In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Hungry for Android? Get all you can eat at the Android Buffet. We release once a week and discuss all things Android. Now, here's Guru and Jerry.
And good morning, Jerry.
Good morning to you, kind sir. My fellow compadre, my cohort, my co-host. How are you this fine Monday?
I am fine. I just have to remember to speak louder because the levels aren't quite as balanced as they normally are. Because I'm coming in from a remote location, deep in the woods.
So one could say this is a mobile version of the mobile podcast.
Yes. In fact, this is my mobile podcasting studio, which unfortunately I am missing a piece of.
Oh. So if any of our listeners note a degradation or a regression in our audio quality, that could explain it.
Yes. I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that everything's even. But in the event that Jerry sounds louder than normal or I sound lower than normal, bear in mind, this is why I replaced all of the equipment that I brought along. So this is back to our old configuration where I have a microphone, a cheap little mixer, and a missing USB digitizer, which didn't make the trip. So I am using the analog port on a laptop to actually do the recording, which is not recommended. So there may be some noise.
All right.
But it's been an exciting week.
Has it?
Yes. Many busy things happened. I acquired a new automobile.
Oh! What did you get?
A silver one.
A silver one. All right.
It has Bluetooth, so I can stream my phone audio.
One of these days, we're going to have to get record a podcast with you driving down the road.
Would that not be dangerous?
Well, it depends.
On what?
Am I in the car?
You're welcome to be in my car. Considering we haven't actually been in the same room at the same time, to my knowledge, I think that would be a big step forward in our relationship. But you don't seem likely to come to New York anytime soon.
No.
No, you don't like cold places.
I don't like cold places.
I'm not actually in New York City right now. I hear it's 52 degrees there and partly sunny.
Ooh.
I am further north where it's 40-something degrees. I'm much closer to your friend Adam Thursby, the recent Android convert who is in Syracuse on and off.
Hmm.
I'm actually in the place where the Weneca Media Group, such it is, was founded.
Really?
Yes. And
the birthplace of the Weneca group.
Yes. In fact, this is where all of our mail goes.
Oh.
Yes. The headquarters of the Weneca Media Group happens to be in a post office in upstate New York.
Seems kind of shady.
Why? Have you ever been to that post office?
Just, you know, a post office is, you know, the hallmark of a shady business.
Well, it started some years ago when a bunch of us were sitting around here and talking about various new media opportunities. And we decided to get together, put some money down, and start a series of blogs. And thus the Weneca Media Group was born. We are a group because it doesn't make sense to incorporate if we're not making any money, which we never thought we were going to do. So, of course, if you want to help us make money, we wouldn't complain.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're much more successful, Jerry. You have Show Analyzer. You had a recent article in Engadget where I was tweeting up a storm saying how pleased I was that they mentioned us but didn't embed a link.
Show Analyzer gets on Engadget every now and then.
I didn't realize what an important personage I was doing the show with. I'm going to have to increase your salary.
Ooh, can we double it?
Yes. In fact, I'm feeling generous. Let's triple it.
All right.
Yes.
Let's see, 0 times 3 is 0.
And this is the person who writes software. Anyway, speaking of math, we received another donation at our PayPal donate button.
Ooh.
From Ted from North Carolina, who sent us $15.
Wow.
Thank you, Ted. And in other Weneca and Android Buffet-related news, we are migrating to a new server as we speak. So if you are having any problems receiving the show, please wait until your DNS server picks up the change. We're getting more memory at a lower price, which is good.
Yes.
Yes. And we can take that $5 a month that we're saving and roll it into more memory.
Oh, thought you were going to say my salary. Well, okay, I didn't actually think you were going to say that, but, no, you know, one you could hoping. Hope.
Excuse me, you got that lovely Amazon gift card. Have you spent?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I applied it to my Amazon account, and I think I bought a book, but I haven't yet used up the money yet. But this is a slow time of year for me.
You know, I'm about to go on a pretty long trip, and I'm thinking about getting the Kindle to bring some books.
The 3G or the Wi-Fi version?
Probably Wi-Fi.
Okay, I own a Wi-Fi Kindle. It is a great device for reading. Now, you may get a tablet someday, and a tablet is a good device for bigger content consumption, but if you want to focus on the task of reading and not hurt your eyes and not worry about losing your battery, as a Kindle will last several weeks, I
recommend. Well, see, I hear all that hurt your eyes and such, but, I mean,
you stare at a computer all day.
I stare at computer screens all day long, and my eyes don't appear to get fatigued.
Yeah, well, it does happen to me after a couple of hours, but I happen to find the Kindle very easy on my eyes. Also, I find it a very nice, streamlined experience. It turns on quickly. It turns off quickly. I don't have to worry about battery issues. So I am very fond of my Kindle. I think it is a very nice, simplified experience. So I can focus on the content in front of me and not be distracted by switching between windows, by checking Twitter, etc. It's a matter of focus.
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping the EPC transformer becomes available before I leave, and I'll probably pick one of those up.
Okay, well, if you decide on a Kindle, I will be rooting for you. In fact, if you have enough time, the new Kindle with advertisements is an option.
Yeah, I know.
What, you don't want when you turn your Kindle off to it to give you a Visa ad? It doesn't do the ads while you're actually reading. Just it turns the screensaver into an advertisement.
I'm sorry, dude. Do you know that show analyzer program we were talking about? Do you realize what it does?
It takes out commercials.
And if I'm going to spend a large portion of my time writing code that removes advertisements,
you're going to pay the $25.
I'm going to pay the $25.
Well, I did, but at the time I didn't have a choice, so I don't know what I would have done had I had the choice at the time.
And actually, I think I may be going. I think I may go with the DX.
Okay, well, there was just a sale on the DX. I'm sorry you missed it.
Yes, sir. Was there?
Yes. Amazon Gold. Or is it Gold Box? I always get that confused. But now you are going away for how long?
I'll be a little over a week.
Okay. Which week is this?
I'm leaving Wednesday, the last week of April.
Wednesday the 27th?
Yes. Ironically, and I'll get back on the 6th.
Yes. The irony, because this coming Monday, I'm not available, so we may have to record early if you're available on Sunday morning. I'm not sure if you are. And I return from my week away from home on the evening of the 26th. So by the time I return to my home, you'll be leaving yours.
Yep.
Okay.
So this mobile podcast may be mobile for a while longer.
Yes, but if necessary, I will soldier on. I will, in your absence, try to recruit somebody to talk who will, of course, not replace you, merely substitute for you. I believe we have a pending guest who I might do in lieu of a regular episode, I might do a quick interview in your absence.
Ooh.
Because we have Dan Fry, who volunteered to stop by and talk about his program Open Schedule that we were talking about. So I may ask him if he is willing to do that in your absence and just release an interview with him, with your approval.
Why would he not want to be on with me?
I thought.
Is this part of the whole Linux conspiracy, the Linux world hates me?
I don't think the Linux world hates you. Although Show Analyzer is not available for Linux, I notice.
Of course, it's not
necessary for Linux. We have Myth TV, and it has a nice commercial detection program. I'm not sure how it compares to Show Analyzer. Have you done any studies on how the commercial skipping in Myth TV compares to the commercial skipping in Show Analyzer?
Dude, the Comflag stuff and Myth TV was the inspiration.
Yes, I'm just asking in terms of positives and false positives. Have you ever seen how it compares now, years after the two were forked?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Would be interesting, but I don't do as much commercial flagging as I could. It gets it wrong on the shows where there's a lot of darkness, which can be a problem.
Well, Chris, the guy that originally did the comflagging in
Chris Peterson.
Myth TV.
Was it Chris Peterson or a different Chris?
I want to say Pinkham.
There were several Chris's.
Yeah. He he does a lot besides Conflag. So, you know, it works. So it may not get the, you know, the continued level of attention that Show Analyzer gets.
I can understand that.
Ooh.
But
how many ounces are in a pound?
I 16? Don't know, but you can Google ounce to pound, and it will actually tell you. Google's good like that. Anyway.
18.9 ounces to pounds.
But let's move on to some exciting news of the day, other than my jerry-rigged podcast studio in the woods.
We have news?
Yes, we have some news.
News about what?
Well, Google closed the ITA acquisition, which leads some people to wonder if the next new product from them will be Google Flight. ITA was a software company.
Right.
That made flight search programs and other flight data information. So could you see yourself going and using a search engine called Google Flight to choose your next flight to Montreal?
Well, one, no, because there is an extraordinarily nice lady in the company that is the executive assistant who does all that stuff. And let me just say, she is an angel in disguise.
Does she listen to this program?
I have no idea.
Huh. Well, now all the listeners know, and you should go and contact Jerry's employer and tell them that the angel in disguise is an angel in disguise.
That Sonia is absolutely worth 18 times her pay. When I went to Montreal to do that thing, the
thing that you did.
Yeah, the thing that they pulled in everybody from the company up to Montreal just for a big old get together. And on the day that we were supposed to fly back, it started snowing. You know,
you actually saw real snow?
Oh yes, I actually went outside and, you know, and had like snow fall on me, and it was horrible.
I feel for you.
But a lot of the planes got canceled, including mine and actually everybody's. And she was extremely proactive and got me back to Jacksonville only a couple hours later than I would have been here originally. And she's my hero. And my daughter was quite happy.
I can imagine. But how would you feel? Let's say that you weren't going on a business trip. Let's say that you were making your personal reservation. Would you trust Google to get into this business?
Well, see, as I understand it, ITA, you don't actually go to an ITA site and do your searches.
No,
ITA is the back end, right?
Yes, but Google's
Travelocity and Orbitz and all these other places use
Kayak. Actually, the Travelocity doesn't use them, nor does Orbitz.
I thought they were the only people available.
ITA?
Yeah.
No, Travelocity is owned by Sabre, which is one of the big distribution systems. They used to be owned by Sabre was spun off from American. So it's one of these interesting things where a lot of the reservations computers got spun off from airlines who originally paid to have them developed. So basically, ITA was a company that has access to and provides a platform for a large amount of flight-related data. And let's say Kayak, for example, uses that data in order to give prices. Have you ever used Kayak, Jerry?
I have.
Very useful site. And they were concerned that that data would no longer be available to them. And they were not the only ones. And the objection that companies like Travelocity had was that Google could essentially close down this source of information. It's not, in some cases, many companies use more than one data source in order to figure out their best deals.
Right.
So essentially, if ITA was gone, then there would be nobody available to provide that service. Kayak would have issues. One of the conditions that Google had to agree to acquire ITA was that they would continue to provide the data at a reasonable for the market price to the companies that were contracted with it. But Google mm-hmm. could very easily get into that market. Could you picture Google putting together a Kayak competitor?
Of course.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if that came around someday. And ITA does have an application for Android, by the way.
Really?
Yes, they do. I believe it's called On the Fly.
Hmm.
But I do know somebody who happens to work in an office near the ITA office and was there the day they made the announcement that Google was going to acquire them. They were apparently very excited.
I'm sure.
Yes. And I don't know if that means I could ever get somebody from ITA on the show. But if you want me to try, I'll ask the person I know who happens to work in the same building.
Well, is it? Okay. Now, I was under the impression that ITA was the only consolidator of all this information.
Well,
so Google buying them would be bad.
Well,
but if ITA is not the only place that consolidates all this data, then what's the big deal?
Well, let's go to the internet, which always solves these problems. ITA Software is a travel industry software company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The first product was an airfare search and pricing system called QPX. It is now used by travel companies such as Orbitz, Bing Travel, Kayak, Cheap Tickets, and airlines such as American, United, US Airways, Virgin, Alitalia, and ANA. ITA also hosts its own website based on QPX, although you cannot buy tickets from it.
Okay, that's great propaganda, but...
No, that was Wikipedia. Anyway, seemed like an easy place to get it. But they're sort of an interesting company.
Okay, and that's fine. But if there are competitors, then why the stress?
Because they are big in the game. Essentially, they are the company that other companies would want to be. Now, what they do, they have an airfare search and pricing system. Now, most of the more traditional systems are not necessarily geared towards the type of high-level searches that they're permitted. Some of those systems were designed 20 or 30 years ago. So basically,
my question stands. Is there another company that provides the same services as ITA?
Not to the degree that it does.
What does that mean, to the degree that it does?
Basically, QPX was developed this millennium. Most of the traditional systems were developed, you know, in the 70s and 80s and are still backwards compatible to that. So they don't have the complex searching functions that ITA offers. So you can still get the same information to figure out the same things, but you can't necessarily do it as efficiently.
Okay, but other understand. Companies have access to the same information.
Yes.
And if they wanted to do their... Okay, then...
They could develop... There's nothing stopping another company from developing a similar product.
Well, it's not like the information is embargoed anywhere.
No, although some of it is proprietary. They'd have to negotiate with the content holders.
Which would be the airlines or ITA?
The airlines, the global distribution systems, etc.
I'm still confused.
Well, so am I to some degree. Here's Google's comment on it. Google industry players acknowledge that they have alternatives to ITA, for including Expedia's Best Fare Search, etc. So there are, Expedia doesn't use them, and you could go through Expedia's API, which I've looked at, and a few other things to get the same type of information. For example, you have Travelport, which powers Priceline. You have Sabre, which powers Travelocity. Yahoo Travel is powered by Travelocity, so there's another one. Cheapo Air is powered by a software platform called Fare Portal.
Okay, so in essence, there's a bunch of these.
It's just that
Google bought the best one.
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, well, then these other companies just need to step up their game.
Yes, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, but it is a big thing, especially with Kayak, which is very well respected. I'm a big fan of Kayak. I think they provide a service and don't actually sell you anything. I admire a company that doesn't try to sell me anything.
Yeah, because trying to make money is just evil.
No, I think that they are less likely to be biased on the basis that they make a commission from anybody I buy from, not just from one company I would buy from. So they're not necessarily going to not give me the correct information because they want me to buy from one company over another.
Are you saying you don't trust Progressive's price comparisons?
I don't know. I happen to be a Geico customer.
Oh.
I like the little gecko. He's cute. And I don't hold a grudge against them for not hiring me. I applied for a job there when I was getting my degree. I needed a part-time job to supplement my income while I was becoming a better me.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not hire me, but I do not hold a grudge.
All right. So what's the bottom line of this? It's something. Google bought the best one.
And they'll probably develop something with it.
Excellent.
That will be interesting, and we will talk about in the future.
Okay.
Moving along, a direct carrier billing is now available on Sprint in the Android market for people like you who choose to be Sprint customers. Not really much to say about that, but direct carrier billing is very important to the carriers who want to make sure they have more things to bill you for. You still there?
I am.
Okay, I heard a noise.
I'm just wondering if, do you get charged tax or carrier fees or any of that other mess?
I'm sure you must be charged tax because they're doing business in your municipality. But that's an interesting question.
So would it actually be cheaper just to use the normal Google checkout?
Well, as a Sprint customer, you're going to have to explore this for me, Jerry, because Verizon does not have direct carrier billing for the Android market. So would you be willing to buy an app and then look at your bill and tell me what happens?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got to find a good one to buy.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can find for you. And in a different market, the Amazon App Store apps routinely phone home, which we knew. But yes, the question is, what would happen? And so far, I haven't gotten a clear answer if the device is not connected to the internet for an extended period.
I think it depends on how you define extended.
Over a week, because it checks on average about a week.
I believe that it's fine until it goes a month without being able to reach home.
Yeah. Now, the other question, I was looking at this article that may be a legitimate one, is if an app is, let's say, DRM-free or free in general, why does it need to phone home? Apparently, the Kindle app calls home regularly to make sure that it's from an authorized market. The odd thing being that the Kindle app is given away gratis, so why would you bother?
I don't think anything comes from the Amazon App Store DRM-free.
Even the Kindle app. That's ironic, but okay. I'm not too concerned about it. My devices are not offline for extended periods of time. Days, maybe, but not weeks. Other news, going back to Sprint, they announced a new music service called Sprint Music Plus, so that you can purchase and directly download a range of songs, albums, ringtones, and ringback tones. I don't quite get the concept of a ringback tone. Explain to me why, instead of a ring, I want to hear music while I am waiting for somebody to come on the phone.
I know my daughter's friends do it all the time.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Why do I want to pay for other people to hear music while they are waiting to call me?
It is an expression of your personality.
Okay, my personality goes ring, ring.
Okay, then you have a boring personality, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm fine with it. Just remember, if we were a comedy duo, I would be the straight man, and you would be the, what's the opposite of the straight man?
The curvy man.
Okay, but I am the serious one, and you are the less serious one.
Oh, so now you're calling me less serious.
Than me.
Hmm.
You are the Costello to my Abbott. No, bad analogy.
That works for me.
Can you say, hey, Abbott?
Hey, Abbott! No?
I don't know. That sounded more like a Fred Flintstone.
Oh.
Anyway.
Hey. Well,
we could do Who's On First next week.
Next week.
Yes, we could practice our routine for Who's On First.
We should so totally do that. Oh, God, yes. We should so totally
I've
do that.
I've heard that so many times, I probably do know it by heart.
I don't.
Okay. I was a child of old-time radio.
Oh, but it is hilarious.
Yes, it is.
And I've seen it many times. It is the traditional intro video to any communications class.
Yes, and I hear next week Costello is going to build a house, but we don't know whether or not it is a one-story house or a two-story house, and that's another story.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
That's the end of the original radio episode, is the advertisement for the next week's episode. Again, I used to listen to that recording a lot. I wore out my tape player.
I imagine.
Yes. Moving along, AutoCAD for Android is set to launch on the 20th of this month.
Yeah, I'm not
so
sure.
If you're a designer, that's good. I'm not a designer, but I still think it's good.
I mean, I guess I could see it for presentations and such, but...
Well, think about it.
Are you really going to be able to do any design work?
On a 10-inch tablet? So you're thinking about a phone. I think they're thinking more of the tablet market.
Hmm.
In fact, there's another story here. Adobe is going to offer a touch SDK to link tablets to Photoshop. So you could draw on your tablet, link it to Photoshop on your computer, and use your tablet as a digitizer.
Yeah.
Also sounds like a good idea for artists now that the tablet market is taking off.
Yeah.
But neither of us are artists.
No.
But we appreciate the thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving along, Mosey for Android is now available if you use Mosey for your backups. Although they did get a lot of flack when earlier this year they eliminated their unlimited offering and went to a limited offering. I wouldn't know because they don't have a Linux client, but I forgive them for that. So if you are a Mosey customer, you may want to get the Mosey for Android app now available.
Still a Dropbox guy.
As am I.
And I'm a Dropbox guy because of you.
Yes. Thanks for that couple hundred megabyte bump, by the way.
Oh, and thank you for the couple hundred megabyte bump.
Oh, I bumped you too?
Yes.
Oh, good. Moving along, I decided to try out, on the recommendation of another website, the D7 Google Reader, because the stock Google Reader application is 14 megabytes, and that's a bit too much stock for me. Now, I happen to be a big fan of NewsRob, which is in my opinion, a very good Google Reader application if you want to read offline. But if you're trying to get through 1,000 articles that you've somehow banked and not yet read so that you could finally get back to zero,
mm-hmm.
you need something that can do real time very quickly. So in addition to NewsRob, which does my offline Google Reader browsing, I've installed the free version of the D7 Google Reader, which I will, of course, if I decide that I like it a lot, I will give them money.
Hmm.
No thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
I'm pretty much looking at the rest of the lineup and thinking, I'm pretty much thoughtless.
Okay. Well, we have more things to talk about that we can add to the lineup. DirecTV promised Android apps for HBO and Cinemax mobile services. So if you subscribe to either of those services, you may be able to watch them on your Android device. Can we have an eh?
Well, I'm a DirecTV person. The stuff that comes, well, some of the stuff that comes in the house is DirecTV. But, eh.
Okay. We're going.
I'm just not real big on watching TV on my mobile phone.
Yes.
Maybe I'm archaic like that.
But I think we need a new rating system here on Android Buffet. One eh, two ehs. Google Cloud printing extension was released for Firefox Mobile, which offers printing services directly from the browser if you choose to use Firefox Mobile, which not enough people are doing, apparently.
I sure don't.
Yes. Meet the Press app enters the market. So if you are a fan of Meet the Press.
Who is Meet the Press?
It's that show that they have early in the morning that you've never heard of Meet the Press?
No.
It's been on since before we were born.
Okay.
It's a news show on this thing called television.
First
you tell me nobody's going to... It has heard of Field and Stream or who uses an Android phone and now this.
I've just never heard of this. What's it called? Meet the Press?
Meet the Press.
And who are they? What do they do?
I'm going to the internet to describe Meet the Press in the official. It is a weekly American television news and interview program produced by NBC. It is the longest running television series in American broadcasting history, despite bearing little resemblance to the original format of the program as seen in November 6, 1947. Meet the Press specializes in interviewing national leaders on issues of politics, economics, foreign policy, and other public affairs. These shows help fulfill the obligations of the network to provide a public service to the community. I'm guessing by this that you are usually not awake on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Between 9 and 10 a.m.?
Typically I'm awake at that time, but...
Not watching NBC?
No.
It apparently also re-airs on MSNBC Sunday afternoons at 2 and early Monday mornings at 4 a.m.
Hey.
It's a very interesting show that I don't generally watch, but I like the clips. Anyway, moving along, there was an update to Dogcatcher, which adds experimental variable speed playback, which is important for that guy who sent us that email whose name escapes me, but I could probably look it up. The only downside is you have to purchase an alternate Android audio library called Presto, which costs $2.99.
Which seemed like a good thing to test out the billing on, right?
Yes. Not only that, as an Android developer, maybe you want to do something with Presto.
Maybe, but...
Maybe soundboard.
I can't.
Why not?
Well, it's odd. It says that my credit card is unusable for this purchase, and the only other option is to...
I'm sorry. So are you going to try variable speed playback in Dogcatcher?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, I've never actually done variable speed playback. There have been times when I've wished it, but do you think a podcast sounds better at double speed?
No, but I do appreciate 1.5 speed.
Certainly good.
Yeah, double speed is a little bit too quick for me, but 1.5 I find to be just right.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to give it a try. For $3, maybe I will download Presto, but it won't be through direct carrier billing.
Man.
So do you have a developer's corner for us this week, Jerry?
I don't.
Okay. So I have a few things planned for next week that we can go over. I'm going to try to do a little hacking with that I've been putting off since Worcester.
Since who?
Worcester. Remember I went to NELF, the Northeast GNU Linux Fest?
Okay.
Although I really hate when they say GNU Linux.
Isn't that how it's pronounced?
No. I'm saying...
No GNUs is good GNUs?
Well, no, I have nothing against the GNU people, but I always used to just call it Linux. So I think
GNU
Linux is more of a politically correct thing.
Isn't GNU Linux a type of Linux? I mean, there are many types. There are many Linux.
No, see, what happened was
Linux I.
If I understand correctly, and you know, I'm hardly an expert on Linux history, what happened was that you had Linus, who did the Linux kernel, and you had the GNU Foundation, which was working on applications around it, such as the compiler.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual core of the operating system is Linux, but a lot of the software packages that are basic are GNU. So the GNU people wanted it to be called GNU Linux. Most people just call it Linux, but the ultra-politically correct people go GNU Linux. So I'm not ultra-politically correct, so I'll just go with Linux.
Okay.
We must all pay tribute to Linus Torvalds.
What do you mean, we, white boy?
We? Are you telling me you have never used a device that has Linux on it?
No.
Such as an Android-based phone?
I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? Why do we have to give... What did you say?
Tribute.
We must all give homage, tribute.
Yeah, you have to appreciate somebody who provided a valuable service.
Yeah, but
I admire many people who have provided valuable services. I think you have to recognize the contribution of Bill Gates, although I'm not always thrilled with him. You have to recognize.
I think that may be it. I mean, I've listened or read a lot of Linus's responses to certain stuff about, you know, coding in the kernel and such, or in Linux in general. And he always comes across to me, in my personal opinion, as...
abrasive?
That's a nice word.
Yeah, well, that's the personality, but still, as I said, he provided a valuable service.
You know, it comes to one of those points where, you know, it's probably he is just so much smarter than I am that I can't... It just, who am I to question the great Linus Torvalds?
You're somebody who has a brain, therefore you question. That's what differentiates us from the herd, the people who follow. We question things.
Of course, it could also be because he is extraordinarily anti-C++, and I happen to love C++.
I have no problem with C++ either. Again, just because you admire somebody for actions they took does not necessarily mean you like them on a personal level or you agree with everything they say. I just think we have to recognize that he made a valuable contribution.
Okay. I'll go along with that. He has made a valuable contribution to the world as a whole.
Yes. And since we got a little off, when I was taking that nice trip to Worcester, I vowed that I would, for the weekend, only use the Nook Color.
And how did that go?
I think that went well, and I think I mentioned at the time, and I had that lovely picture. I'm not sure if you caught
that. Ooh, the Nook Color. I could get one of those instead of a Kindle.
Well, you should have told me because a friend of mine who was convinced by me showing it to him to buy a Nook Color has sold it. He did not want to be on the cutting edge, so he bought a used iPad 1.
Okay. The odds of me doing that, fairly slim.
The odds of me doing that are even slimmer. But, you know, I'm the first person to admit that hacking a Nook Color doesn't work for everyone.
Well, if I hack it, then I can read Kindle books on it, right?
Yes, I have that app installed. Works very nicely. And CM7 Final was released for the Nook Color, and it actually is working very nicely. So I have the Nook sitting here next to the microphone and the microphone, and it works perfectly. In fact, Jerry, if you're interested, he traded me a Nook-compatible Bluetooth keyboard for a song, which is happens to be the same keyboard that I bought.
Literally for a song?
Some people like my singing, Jerry. Not literally for a song, but there was singing involved. But he traded me for something else that I had.
Okay.
So I now have an extra little Zoom keyboard.
Oh, man. Nook Color.
Yeah, the only thing that I want to do, this goes back to the hacking project I want to do, is I want to adjust the keyboard map in Android to recognize some of the extra buttons on the keyboard. So I want to map one of those buttons as a back button, which according to the literature I reviewed is possible. I just need to do some experimentation. And since I'm off work this week, although I'll be very busy with other matters, something I've never hidden is I'm Jewish, and this week is Passover. I'm sure you've heard of Passover, Jerry?
Yeah, it's the week before. Is it like related to Lent?
No.
No? It's Passover is the week before Easter.
Often, yes.
Often.
No, the two are somewhat related, at least in the sense that they usually happen around the same time of year, though sometimes Passover does happen a month earlier based on the differences between the solar and the lunar calendar. But, you know, there is that old joke, which I'm sure you've heard, that all Jewish holidays can be summed up with three simple sentences.
I'm sorry, say that again?
All Jewish holidays can be summed up in three simple sentences.
Okay, I gotta hear this.
They tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat.
Hey, can't argue with that.
Yes. So, we're recording this Monday morning. Tonight I am going to a traditional Passover Seder. And we go late.
And what's a Seder? Isn't that half man, half goat?
No. Seder literally means order. Basically, it is where we sit around a table in somebody's home, not mine, fortunately, because I don't want to cook for it, and we recount the story of the Exodus from Egypt.
Yeah, Seder is half man, half goat.
How do you spell that?
S-A-T-Y-R.
That's Satter.
Satter, Seder, potato,
this is
potato.
S-E-D-E-R.
Oh.
And then we eat. And because I am going to a place where they are much more hardcore than I am, we usually go till 2. And then we come back the next night and do it all over again.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to discuss in depth till the wee hours of the morning the Exodus from Egypt, after which we will go home. So it should be interesting. Only happens twice a year. Tonight and tomorrow night. But I took the whole week off. Seemed easier. So I'm going to catch up on some projects. Again, we're on a new server, so I have some more tweaks to do. We have a whole new system, which is supposed to be more efficient. I rebuilt the entire thing over the weekend. And if you find that there is now better responsiveness from the Android Buffet website...
Could it have anything to do with, I don't know, say, extra memory?
Yes. Well, I was going to say, appreciate it. And maybe I can use that extra $5 I'll be saving for something else that might be helpful. Maybe some more download bandwidth and speed for the podcast, which is currently hosted on my own site. Maybe I need a $5 Libsyn account or something. Let somebody else take that bandwidth. We'll see. Or maybe I should buy some better equipment. You know, I was listening to somebody talk about their podcast setup, mm-hmm. and I was tempted to buy something called a noise gate. So I'm going to talk to my friend, the audio equipment guy, and see what he recommends that's cheap. If I understand correctly, when I am not talking, a noise gate would clamp down all the background sound.
Yes.
That sounds like a good idea. If I can get a good price.
Noise gates are kind of annoying, especially if you're talking about... they produce an artificialness to the recording.
That's the compressor part of it, though.
Well, no, it's like, okay, when you're talking, there's a certain level of background noise that adds, I don't know, kind of a warmth to your voice, or my voice, or anybody else's voice. I'm not saying that you personally have a warm voice, but anyway. And what happens is when you use a noise gate, especially hard cutoffs, when you stop talking, then you hear that background for just a little bit, and then the gate shuts on and it shuts off that background noise, and it becomes noticeable. Whereas if you don't use the noise gate, then it just becomes, it's part of the recording and you don't notice it.
Well, I didn't like the pricing anyway. But we'll see. I have a friend who does a lot of sound engineering. I may ask his opinion. Either way, I am thinking after this experience here that I'm going to get that backup solid-state recorder, considering that I have a wire that's running between my legs, under my left leg, and into a computer sitting on the floor. That's a bit too ad hoc for me, so I'll just make sure that I have a backup emergency recorder that should make that easier if I do this more often. I'd actually like to see if I can work from here, you know, take a nice vacation but still come to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
So far, telecommuting from the woods sounds nice, but I don't know if it's practical. It's one thing to telecommute from, you know, a place where if you have a problem, you can just drive to work. This is a little less practical, but we'll see. Even though I don't live here, this is sort of my vacation destination. It doesn't cost me any money because one of my relatives owns this place. So I can sit here and relax and record a podcast. So next week, Jerry, I will be unavailable on Monday. Would you be available on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning?
Well, I could do afternoon, but I can't do Sunday evening.
The problem with Sunday morning is, unless we make it really early, Sunday morning is eat muffins and watch TV with my daughter.
What about Sunday afternoon?
We'll discuss it. I mean, how early are you talking about on Sunday?
I don't know. I would assume that without you, I wouldn't get up early because I'm on vacation. But in order to accommodate this podcast, I will go the extra mile. As I seem to recall, at one point, in order to accommodate this podcast, we got up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd rather not, but
right.
Whatever is necessary. If you wanted to do Saturday night, I could arrange that. We could do a pre-record. Also, when do you want to do the first Flying Bathtubs episode, which we have also? Because I know people are clamoring for those flying bathtubs.
Yes.
Which reminds me, if any of you happen to have any artistic capability, we are still looking for somebody to draw a flying bathtub logo for us.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I didn't hear any takers either. But would you like to try to do that this week also? Because since I'm on vacation, I have some extra time.
I'm up for that.
Okay, so we will. I'm going to edit this episode and have it posted today because tonight I will be busy doing religious stuff. And hopefully we'll get that done sometime this week.
All right. Now, I have to admit, I may not have been paying 100% attention during this last part of the podcast because, well.
You're easily distracted?
No, I was
playing Angry
looking
Birds.
At my options.
Okay.
And because, okay, I'm going to Ecuador and I'm going to be there for a while. And I like to read when I can't work. But I don't want to bring a whole bunch of books.
So bring a Kindle.
Well, the Kindle or the Nook.
That's up to you.
Because
have
it's the we're looking at $250 for a 7-inch or $400 for the DX.
Well, there's also the 6-inch Wi-Fi, $139.
Well, the problem with that is the books that it's not like I'm going to be reading, Daniel Suarez. It's mostly reference books.
Yes, and that might work better for the DX.
Yeah.
But tell me what you do. I want to hear back. We could make this a discussion on a future program.
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How long does the battery last on your Nook?
Depending on usage, 8 to 10 hours. But I leave it plugged in. You have to understand, the battery life is actually better than a phone because it doesn't have the radio. But there are still some issues with the sleeping in CM7, so it's not quite as efficient as it could be, but I can still get over a day of use out of it. I consider 8 to 10 hours a day.
Okay. I was pretty much set to go on the Nook until you said 8 hours. Because I would certainly have to hack it to get the
extra features.
The Kindle books, yeah.
Yes. And again, I happen to be fond of the Kindle because it can go for weeks. Not only can it go for weeks, I find that it is as crisp as a actual book in terms of the screen quality. It wasn't on the earlier versions, but the Kindle 3 and the equivalent DX screen.
Really? Now, the DX that I'm looking at is it's charcoal. Is that a newer version?
The charcoal is the current version.
So better screen?
Well, the Kindle latest edition has the better screen, and I believe that extends to the DX as well, where it's a larger version of the Kindle 3, or the Kindle latest generation, as they call it.
Hmm.
But it is up to you. Do what is right for you, Jerry, because what is right for me and what is right for our listeners is not necessarily what's right for you.
I'm so indecisive.
Just remember, it takes many colors to make a rainbow.
Yeah, and the Kindle is black and white.
Whatever you want to be. Sorry, that was my Bob Ross imitation.
I don't know who Bob Ross is.
He did The Joy of Painting on PBS.
Oh, yeah, my daughter and I were watching that the other day. It still comes on.
Yeah, I know.
And she just loved it.
I know, a lot of kids love that show.
I like watching it, too. It's kind of, relaxing.
That's why I was doing the voice.
Yes, he is awful.
Whatever you want to be.
Zen-ish, isn't he?
We can draw a flower. We can draw a little tree. Anyway.
Oh, man, that is an awesome show.
Yes. It's perfect to watch when you need a little bit of zen. It's the closest I get to meditation, but I don't watch it that often. Anyway, that brings us almost to the end of this program. Are there any final thoughts, Jerry? I'm sorry about the ad hoc nature of the audio. Hopefully there won't be too many problems and people enjoying it. And remember, after my vacation, I will, of course, be back at my normal studio. And I will be upgrading this little mobile studio here because I'm still missing a piece and I'd sort of like to find it. So hopefully my next recording will be better if I can track down where it went. If not, I'll see what I can get in terms of cheap USB digitizers. You can usually get a USB sound card for $10.
Yeah.
I just don't like using the plug-in on the computer. It's much lower quality. But this should suffice for this week. And any final thoughts from you, Jerry, before we cut to our announcer?
No. Okay. No, I try and come up with something witty. I try and come up with something funny. And I'm just drawing a complete blank. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks.
Okay.
I'll be funny next week.
I'm sure you will be. And I will be back next week. It'll be me and my matzah.
You're in your who?
Matzah.
Isn't this a family show?
Yes, it is.
Matzah. Then how dare you bring that on the show?
Unleavened bread.
Oh.
Stuff
stand. Never mind.
It isn't that good, but it's what I'll be eating for the next week.
All right. Well, then I'm ready to say goodbye if you're ready to say goodbye. And then we can say goodbye. And then it'll be goodbye.
Happy trails.
Trails.
Yes.
And happy ones.
Yes, you've never heard that song before? You know, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the sun when we're together? No. I've scared Jerry away.
Okay.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye, folks.
If you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, you can call 201-2-WINICA. That's 201-293-6322. You can send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Android Buffet. If you appreciate our show, you can click on Tip Us on the homepage. Guru is the editor of Gadget Wisdom at www.gadgetwisdom.com or on Twitter at Gadget Wisdom. Jerry is the creator of Show Analyzer. You can find him at jerry.jones@gmail.com or on Twitter at jerry_jones. Android Buffet is a product of the Wenica Media Group at wenica.com, creators of quality on content. Android Buffet is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. Find more fine and family-friendly tech-related shows at techpodcast.com. That's techpodcasts.com. I'm Guru's mother, and I own a Motorola Droid. Check out our new monthly dose of randomness on the Flying Bathtubs podcast at www.flyingbathtubs.com. Same great hosts, new great topics.